Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. I'm so excited because I am bringing back the interviews. I have done only solo episodes for quite a while now. It's been months since I have had a guest on the podcast, but this just seemed like the perfect opportunity. I connected with Dan, so we have an amazing interview, and Dan is a success coach, and he's helped hundreds of business owners multiply their income, and he is absolutely incredible. He is amazing at rewiring minds, and I love the way that he does his work because he blends science and spirituality because, you know, for anyone listening who's not so into all of the woo-woo stuff and they need to have that proof, that science backing, like Dan is all about that. And even more than the multiplying incomes and manifesting money, he's an incredible, incredible human who I am so honored to have been able to form this friendship with. So we get into so much in this conversation. We talk about magic. Is it real? What does it mean to be a modern day wizard? We talk about, you know, Dan can see and feel energy and, you know, is it possible to read minds? And is it possible to move things with your mind, like move objects with just the power of your mind and energy? So we get into all the crazy, awesome, magic, woo-woo, amazing, fun, exciting stuff. And we also talk about stuff that's really applicable to everyday life right now, like the way Dan has been able to heal his own depression that he was born with on his own without any medicine, no doctors, just him. And techniques that he has learned and created, and how he's helped others do the same in literally less than 4 hours. And some of the mindset tips that we talked about and our conversations around emotion just completely blew my mind. This is such a special, special conversation. And Dan is a big manifester too. We also got into manifestation. He has his own manifestation techniques. He's really good at manifesting. He's talked about how he was able to manifest texts saying exactly what he wanted from 3 specific people on the same freaking day. So stick around to the end to hear all of his tips and tricks on how he manifests, how he attracts money, which actually has nothing to do with money at all, will probably surprise you, and his experience with spirituality, science, and magic. So here he is. So hello, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here.
So good to be here with you, Kristen. This is so much fun.
Yes. And so before we get into all of the meat, because I have so much I want to ask you, do you want to just kind of share more about your journey and how you got where you are now doing the work that you do?
Yeah, it was kind of a really weird one. Every time I go through my story, I always have this response where I'm like, I am a true to life weirdo. So like, I love it. But so I was born depressed, and that usually does not happen. Extremely rare, but call it, you know, bringing it in from a past life or part of, you know, I was a C-section baby in the early 80s. We didn't really know how to do things well back then. And depression was a complication that you saw a lot. Add to that, I was born in Jerusalem, Israel, and raised in New Jersey. So from the get-go, I was an outcast. I was already depressed. I had an Israeli accent. You know, we eat a lot of garlicky foods in Israel. And so I wasn't smelling, looking, acting like anybody else. And kids can be really nasty. So, you know, what was a maybe slight depression became a major one, which made me just feel like hell all the time. Feel like I didn't fit in, feeling like I wasn't good enough to be anybody, you know, anybody's friend. I didn't have really friends. I was bullied and picked on and messed with. And that just kept on getting worse as I got, you know, crawled even more into my head and my insecurities, looking for the right thing to say, the right thing to do, the right thing to be, and always screwing it up. College was fun because then I joined a fraternity and had access to unlimited alcohol, which is a great idea for a depressed kid. You know, it's like, here, just black yourself out all the time. You don't need to feel the pain. Oh, what's that weed? Smoke as much of it as you can.
I know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. And I got suicidal. And getting suicidal for me, I don't know what it's like for many other people. I know for some people, it is very much a surprise. It's not a thing that I was thinking about like every day as a growing thought. Like, you know, hunger grows until you're starving. It was like a storm that just came out of nowhere. And thank God I was too chicken to do anything about it at the time. But it made me realize that this is really serious. And there was a voice in me that told me, this is not where you quit. You know, you have to figure this out. You're going to figure this out. And that was when I was 18. Fast forward to 36 now, after 18 years of consistent, research into human transformation, spirituality, neuroscience, psychology, literally going around the world, looking for the best coaches, scientists, doctors, and gurus to study under. I was a member of a Hindu spiritual cult for a year and a half, lived in ashrams in India, meditated for months in Thailand, literally went around the world seeking my healing. And at 31, I did what people still love to argue with me about, as if it didn't already happen. You know, people saying like, no, if you're chemically depressed, you're suicidal, like you need pills. You need drugs, you need surgery, you need all this other bullshit. I didn't need any of that and cleared it permanently and then discovered that I had a real calling, that I didn't just do this for myself. And not but more than that, I had a responsibility. And I do have now, especially now with the corona, going around, I feel more of that responsibility than ever, that this was not a gift that was given to me for me. This was a gift was given to me so that I could realize that I can give this to other people. And so that became my life's mission, to share that and to consistently find even more beautiful and amazing ways to help other people do the same thing I did, which is go from a place that might be stuck and frustrated or hopeless or disempowered or just feeling heavy and realize that they are even more magical and powerful than they ever thought they could be, and that there is no reason why they shouldn't have everything that they want.
I just got chills. That was so beautiful. And I mean, I can't even imagine how difficult that journey must have been, especially in the beginning. And did you have any like epiphany moments? Like, I know you traveled through, I think you said Thailand and India, and do you feel like that was necessary for you to find this like deep healing that helped you overcome this without the pills and the doctors? Like, what were those epiphany moments and what helped you the most to get where you are now? Because talking to you now and knowing you now, like you would never guess that you used to be suicidal.
Yeah, I know. You probably never guessed that I used to be Israeli too. Wow. Right? I got rid of that accent. That was part of the whole thing, but with three, I was so done with that whole thing. I told my mom I'd never speak Hebrew again, and I never did. And so I do think my experiences in the cult were really important for me, not for everyone. So if you're listening to this and you have depression, you know, my journey was my own. You have your own too. And the beautiful thing about going through my journey is I've discovered and learned and continue to collapse the timeline for other people. So what took me 18 years, I've been able to help other people go from suicidal depression to happiness in less than 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So just because I did it, please, please, please do not think that you need to as well. I went the very hard and long way, and I'm sure I had to for a reason that isn't yours. I think that part of the problem was that I am a deeply spiritual creature and did not know that growing up. And this, is it okay to speak free? Can I curse on this?
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Now I can feel like I could really speak. I got fucked up by not knowing that I was an empath. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, even, you know, it caught me all the way up until I actually joined that cult and discovered, because I didn't think spirituality was real. You know, I was very much my father's son, very pragmatic, you know, very, you know, proof first. Let's see it before we believe it. But not just see it once, see it every time we look for it, right? It needs to be absolutely 100% reliable, repeatable for it to be real at all. And so I thought God was bullshit. The universe was nonsense. It was made up of just a bunch of things, bumper cars, essentially, knocking into each other and creating chemical reactions that then eventually led to this. And then I discovered spirituality. And it was, the process of discovering it was as disruptive as I can imagine anything else being. Like, I was at, and the story of how I got into the cult, if you're interested, is a long one. So I won't, you know, if you guys are interested, I also have a podcast and I go through all of it and it takes a good amount of time. It's a wild story. And honestly, if I didn't live it, I'm not sure I would believe it, but you can go ahead and check it out if you want. But as I was unable to reject what I was experiencing with my Kundalini awakening and seeing things and doing things. I mean, people in this cult were moving things with their minds, literally.
Wow.
And then they taught me how to do that. It read someone's mind legit for once and it'll fuck you up. Like make you ask questions you've never asked before. See someone roll a coconut across a floor with their mind and then snap it open with their thoughts. And it will make you ask questions.
What? So you are able to move things with your mind and read other people's minds. Like you've been taught how to do that.
Taught how to do that. I used to be able to move things. The thing is that we were taught to do that through connecting with the guru of that group. Hmm. And after discovering some very disturbing darkness in that energy beyond all of the glitz and the glam and the powers and whatever, I decided that I would disengage from that and create my own connection mm-hmm. with Source. And so now, with my spirituality brought to my forefront, with me waking up to it, I'm still an empath, which is a beautiful thing as a coach, because yes, I can feel people's emotions and yes, I can read people's minds. And a lot of times when they can go into a process, I see what they see. And I feel what they feel, and I know what's going on often before they do, which is incredible. It makes my job so much easier, you know? And it's like, there's no guessing. I know what's going on, and it's awesome. So yeah, I think that I had to go through that because there was a part of me that I fundamentally rejected, and it was create suicidal depression. How couldn't it? When there was something that was so important to me that I was completely denying.
Right. So how did you go from this? Because I know you said you're science-based and need to see proof to like accepting yourself as someone who can read minds or, you know, make these things that a lot of people would say is woo-woo crazy. Like, how do you go from straight rejecting that to accepting that and not only accepting it, but like fully diving into it and making that a part of your career and the meaning and the purpose in your life and the way that you help others?
Mm-hmm. I went to meditate with this group for a month and I was surrounded by individuals who are all doing that. You know, and you can reject it for a little while, but after a month of seeing it every single day and then having someone be like, okay, just do these steps and you're going to be able to do something that you thought was impossible. And then you do it and it works. After a little while, there's just, you can't keep denying it. You know, it's there in your face screaming at you. For me, I tried. And I wanted to believe it, but there was something in, like, all that programming was fighting against it. And it was so disruptive to me that as I was beginning to accept it, I would be walking around this resort in Thailand and it just out of nowhere, it looked like my vision went completely dark and then black and white. And then it looked like I was trying to steal cable, like staticky. Wow. And then it snapped and I could actually hear a pop. And then it looked like my vision went into high def. And it was like, wow, all of my senses improved, they sharpened. And the first time it happened, it lasted for only a few seconds. But then it, like, the static would last a little longer, and then I'd stay in that high def a little longer before snapping back into standard def. And I remember the day that I finally let go of the resistance and just accepted it to be real, I just stayed in that high def and I started feeling energy. And I started being able to manipulate energy and started to really fall into, okay, this is real and I've been doing it my whole life and this is fun and let's play with this. And who wouldn't? I mean, if you found out that you really were a wizard, Harry, wouldn't you want to go to Hogwarts that day? Right?
Yes, I love this because this has been a huge part of my spiritual awakening is magic is real. That is a belief that I have. It is real. And for me, that's a part of me that I denied and rejected for most of my life. And like I was made fun of as a kid for being this magical, fantastical person. And so what about people who are listening and they want to dive into this part of them and they want to start, I don't know, whatever woo-woo things or magical things that they want to believe or tap into. But if you don't have this experience where you have all these people around you who are literally showing your mind that this is real, what are some steps people can take to start to work through their programming or conditioning to start, you know, working through that self-rejection or fear around this part of themselves?
Totally. So I would do two things. I would look to immerse myself in that world. Now, if I could, if I don't have friends who are in it, or you know, hiring a coach sometimes is a great way to do it. They give you a beautiful role model. Or just read a ton and watch a ton and just immerse yourself in it. Read Autobiography of a Yogi. That'll make you ask some really interesting questions. You know, like dive into the world so that, because we want to normalize it. I think that's really what helped me as well, is that after a month of being in it, it just became normal. And you don't reject normal reality that you experience, you know, because it's just every day for you. So I would do that as well. So listen to podcasts where this is affirmed and talked about as just every day, you know, read books where this is not like, oh, this is crazy stuff. Let me blow your mind. It's more like, no, this is just how the way the world works. Have you noticed this? Right?
Yeah.
And be in that energy as much as you possibly can. And then at the same time, I would use whatever sort of personal development tools you've got at your disposal to look for any perceptions that tell you that it isn't real and get rid of them. To allow yourself to reprogram yourself. Start from neutral, right? Start from zero. Fill yourself up with the ideas from your environment, right? From your immersion, that this stuff is kind of real, that maybe it could be real. We don't need you to fully believe it. Just maybe. That's a great place to start. And then start paying attention to your own reality. I had so many clues when I was a kid. I just didn't take any of them. You know, I thought that I was crazy because I had all these wild emotions and thoughts. I didn't know they weren't mine. So now if you can just allow yourself to think maybe this is going on and thinking that, ooh, you know, this feeling that I had, well, what is that? Or like, you know, maybe you do notice repeated numbers. You know, you can ask the universe, show me, you know, if I'm on the right track, show me 1111. By the way, I did that one time and was shown, did not look. I saw 1111 over and over and over again all day, every day for 2.5 weeks straight to the point where people would show me memes or pictures. And at the bottom, it would be like, when did this picture get taken? 1111. Or a friend would like send me a receipt. She was like, look how, like, look at this awesome note that I got from, you know, my waiter. And at, you know, the bottom, the bill, $11.11. And instead of rejecting it, just allow yourself to play with a fun idea that maybe something magical is going on. Maybe something spiritual is going on. If you, you know, you think, oh, I would love to speak with Kristen. And all of a sudden Kristen calls you. Instead of just brushing away as a coincidence, maybe allow yourself to entertain the idea that you manifested it or that you just synced up with the universe and foretold it. You'll play with it a little bit more. And that'll be a nice little introduction into it. When we think of these things as serious, as big, and like, I need to know what's going on, then it's not fun, and who knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, I agree. And I so resonate with everything you said. The angel numbers thing, that happens to me all the time too. Mm-hmm. They come in crazy, crazy, crazy ways. And it's like nonstop sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through my experience of like normalizing all of this, because it was a lot of programming to work through, a lot of conditioning, at least for me, I had a coach that helped me. And that helped me to go through the process so much quicker. Like it took me, you know, a matter of months instead of, I don't know how long it would have taken me. And I think what really helps me is tasking my mind. So if I decide that I would like to have the belief that these experiences that I'm having that seem weird are real. Like these synchronicities, they mean something. So I would task my mind to find proof, right? That this could potentially be real. Like you said, asking that question, like, could this maybe be actually real? Could I maybe trust myself? And then giving my mind the task of finding proof. So that therefore I am now attracting and noticing proof of what I want to believe instead of what I don't want to believe. And that was huge. And then I started attracting people to me like crazy in synchronistic ways who had the same beliefs or who were like 10 steps ahead of me, who I could use as role models in my like real physical reality of like, okay, this is actually real. Like this person is doing it. And that was a huge shift for me in my experience. And that was, I think, when things really changed for me, is when I just like set out that, you know, intent to the universe, like, give me proof, show me this is real. Like, I'm willing to accept this if you show up and show me the proof, show me the synchronicities. And it did. And I'd also like love to hear from you. How does this fit into your everyday life, you know, into like how you create your reality or your life? Is this, I know you talked about energy and how you can, I think you said, see it or feel it or hear it or whatever. Like, how do you use that in your everyday life?
Oh my God. I have so much fun with it. let's just put that out there. Like, yeah. First, it is just so much fun. Like, I was speaking with my brother, who's not yet quite hip to, you know, my world of things. And he asked me, you know, what's the benefit of being able to feel energy or being able to see energy? And my first response was, imagine the world was filled with a beautiful color you had never seen before. Wouldn't you want to see it? And like, what other benefit? It's just beautiful. Do you need much more than that? Right? So we can just start with that. It adds to my life. It adds another, it's another sense. How cool is that? You know, on top of that, I use it every single day, all day. It's a part of who I am, like eating and sleeping and breathing. I have manifested clients. I have a multiple six-figure business and I don't know a fucking thing about business. How does that work? Mm-hmm. How does that happen? It's not accident, you know? No one just whoops, I just made $600,000. It didn't fucking happen. No. So, you know, so there is something there. And lately has been really fun because I have another coach. So as soon as Corona season hit, I doubled up on coaches. Because I, through my spiritual connection, also realized that I, you know, my soul is huge and I do not shrink. I only grow through things. I will never back down. That is not our soul. You know, that our soul's purpose is not to shrink into nothing. It's to rise. It's to grow and evolve and have fun with it. So I use that also, right, to keep me afloat during hard times, to push me during scary times, to really accept my greatness and use that. But beyond that, just recently, using one of my new manifestation tools, which I absolutely love, I had three situations that were potentially very scary. My girlfriend's dad went to the hospital. A family friend went to the hospital, and my parents, who are in Australia right now, my dad won a Fulbright scholarship. So if you don't know, in the professorship world, that's one of the biggest international awards given to a professor, and essentially gives you the status of diplomat. So he was going to go down there and do 6 months of research and speak with government officials and all sorts of things. And then boom, this whole thing happened. And I got a text saying, you know, don't want to freak you guys out, but the State Department just removed all Fulbright scholars. So now they've cut us off from our money, our funding. They've cut us off from our healthcare. They say we need to go home. And my parents are 73. So 24 hours on a plane with complete strangers, you know, gave me a near panic attack. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, no, none of these three situations are allowed to happen, period. And I used my process and visualized a text that I wanted, a very specific text that I wanted from each one of these groups of people, or each, you know, each of these responses. And within 24 hours, I'm not going to say that I take full credit. I would like to imagine that I participated in it. I got the exact texts that I was looking for, with girlfriend's dad released, lungs clear, no pneumonia, no COVID, no nothing. He's breathing easy. He's healthy and released. Same thing with a family friend. And within a day, my parents sent me a text message saying that they had been able to work something out. Now they have healthcare. They have funding until July. Everything is great. They can stay there. They're happy and safe and healthy. And to me, this is so much more important than manifesting money or safety for myself. And I mean, that's one of those things that I'm saying, like, look for stuff like that. And when it shows, accept it. Because I don't know what role I had to play in this, but even just thinking about it is giving me chills.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's giving me chills. Yeah. And it just, you know, if this is something that you say you manifested, you use your visualization process, this was, mm-hmm. I feel like you played a part in this. Do you believe that we have complete control to manifest anything that we want in our realities? Like, how much control do you believe in your belief system that we have? If you're able to manifest these three specific texts from these three people, do you look at it as, okay, not only did you receive those texts, but that reality was shifted. Like, her dad got the diagnosis that his lungs were okay, and whatever else happened in those two other scenarios, it's not just the text that you received, but that result that was manifested. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how much control do you believe that we have over our realities and manifestation?
You know, I still like to think that I don't have much. And it's really just because I've had a big switch recently with manifestations, because it used to come from this place of, well, I want to manifest more money, more this, more that for me, for personal gain. And it really came from a place of scarcity. And it came from a place of maybe powerlessness or some heavier emotion. And in that, I wanted my manifestations to be for control. That, I think, was one of the reasons maybe why my manifestations sometimes didn't work or took longer or whatever. It came out all wacky. Now with my current mindset, and I really feel it, so it's not just a conscious thing, that I manifest not for control. And when my manifestations line up with what is right, you know, this is the co-creation. What I like to do is think of a manifestation as a suggestion, you know, like, and just an ask, like a friend, like, hey, can we have pasta for dinner? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, totally. That sounds great. That's right in line with what I want. Maybe I wasn't thinking about pasta, but I was thinking about something like, yeah, we could totally do that. I got everything here. Let's whip it up for you. Right. And sometimes it's like, ooh, no, that's not good for you. Pasta has gluten and you're celiac. No, you're not getting that. Right. And so I kind of see it more like that, more like a dialogue. And then when it happens, the last thing I want to feel is I did that, you know, activating the ego around it. I think an even more powerful way to look at it is just that joy, right? Because if it isn't coming from a place of scarcity, so it doesn't need to be a control, when you get what you asked for, is just yay. That's all there is. It's just, holy shit, that's amazing. Like, look at that thing. That's incredible. And then we just leave it. Just that, it's a beautiful thing, just like a beautiful sunset. I'm so glad I got to see that. Like, did you see that? Maybe take a picture and move on with your life.
Yeah, I love that. So it sounds like when what you desire to manifest lines up with your highest good that the universe already had in mind for you, it's going to manifest, right? Mm-hmm. But like the pasta, you have celiac disease. If what you're intending is not for the highest good, it's not going to show up. Is that, right. Yeah. That's totally my view on it too. It's like, you know, sometimes I think us as humans, we want to manifest all these things, but it's like, we don't actually know what's best for us in the long run and in the highest good for not just us, but for everyone and everyone around us. And I think that's the thing about manifestation is a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to manifest everything and anything that I want. And, you know, it doesn't work like that because we're always working towards the highest good for ourselves and this entire planet. And that's a lot more complicated than what are my, you know, desires right now. And like you said, that comes a lot, I think, from ego. And I'm also curious because we've been talking a lot about energy and, you know, your whole journey. And I know that you're a success coach and you've helped people, you know, you say like double and triple their incomes and you do a lot of work around rewiring your mind to attract more money. So how did you go from all of this and the magic and the mind reading to, you know, money?
So for a long time, I really resisted it because I'm like, ew, money. Like, I don't want to deal with money. Like, I want to help people feel good. Like, I want to help save people. And then I stepped into a different way of thinking about it, which is two ways. And I'm very open and honest about one of them. One of them is bait and switch, the way that I like to think about it, because sometimes you need to give people what they want. You need to offer them what they want and give them what they need. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what they, and a lot of my clients do, they'll come in like, I want more money, but what they need is more self-trust or self-love or, you know, whatever that is. And when they get that, the money will follow. And so I use this as a vehicle to give people, especially now, I'll be right there and like full on bold face lie to you that all my mind is about money and I'll help you make more money. And then right as I catch you on that, say, yes, and in order to make that, this is what you really need. And help people round out. And what's really funny is that my clients who have made the most amount of money, we never talked about money. We never talked about business. We never talked about any of that kind of stuff. We were talking about their experiences of reality and how they felt and their perceptions of themselves. And knowing that money is just energy really helps as well, because the things that block other energies from coming in, such as joy or gratitude or love or trust or strength, the things that block those will block your money flow as well. So when we unblock those, the money gets unblocked as well. And so what I found here is this awesome little thing where it's like, oh, wait, I can help someone love themselves and double their income at this. And I don't even have to talk about money at all. This is just a side effect of what I do. Holy shit, I need to do this all the time. Like, and so that's how it happened.
That's incredible. I love that. And I found a similar thing in my work is that it almost never has to do directly with money. And for anyone listening who wants to attract more money, and that's them, like you said, the clients come to you and they're like, I want more money. And it's not always about money. So how could anyone listening, how can you uncover what is actually that block that's probably not just keeping you from money, but from a lot of other joyful experiences in life? So how do we know if it's, you know, we need more self-love or we need more trust? Like, are there ways that we can uncover like what specifically is blocking me?
You absolutely can. And here is exactly how you do it. So I'm going to give you the exact technique that I teach my clients. And this is the exact technique that I use too. Mm-hmm. And so it's really simple. So the science is simple. The art is hard, as you know, like everything, mm-hmm. right? You know, the simplest dishes, if you cook, are always the hardest to make because there are three ingredients in it and you have to get it just right. However, we have been raised, I feel like, in our society to view our negative emotions as actually negative. When we can think of them as a polarity on a magnet, right, where there's a plus and a minus on a magnet, but we never refer to the minus side of the magnet as the one that hates Jews or wants all black people to die or anything. No, this is a very loving part of the magnet as well, right? And it loves everyone and it loves you and there is no good or bad, evil, you know, yang or yang in that. Negative emotions just refers to the polarity of it. That's all. So we start off by that, realizing that it's okay to feel our negative emotions. In fact, when we learn how to listen to them, it's actually wonderful. because your negative emotions will tell you things. You are experiencing them for a reason. And when you know what these emotions do, and I can run through them real quick for you, you'll know what questions to ask yourself. So the big, the big six: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, shame. Anger is what you feel when your significance has been taken down a notch, right? So if you think about the person who got the wrong kind of milk in a Starbucks and yells at the barista, right? They feel like their significance had been threatened, or, you know, they're insulted, right? And so they needed to reassert themselves by puffing up and getting angry. Anger is also what we use when we don't want to feel another negative emotion, right? If you've ever noticed someone doing something ridiculously dangerous in traffic and then flipping everybody else off, it's them avoiding guilt by getting angry. When you are angry at someone else, you don't have to think about yourself. So the next time you feel anger, or you can think back of a time that you, when was the last time I felt angry? And then look at that and look at, what would I have to believe about myself or the world or life in order to feel like this took my significance down or made me feel another negative emotion? You ask this, you know, what beliefs could I have about myself, other people, whatever, that would make me feel this thing? That's for anger. For sadness, it's a break, a disconnect between you and other people, or you and something that is important to you, whether it is success or love or sex or whatever. Fear is simply resistance to something that hasn't happened yet. Right? So you ask, what would I have to believe in order to resist this thing that I want? And, you know, you find these beliefs will come up. Hurt, simple. Hurt is what happens when you allow someone an inappropriate amount of control over how you feel, right? Because no one can make you feel anything short of sitting you down and injecting you full of chemicals. So if you feel like they made me, right? Like, you hurt my feeling. Well, what would you have to believe in order to allow what they said to hurt you? Do you agree with them? You're stupid. That hurt. Maybe you think you're stupid, right? Go to guilt. What rule did you break? Was it even your rule? Did you even agree with that rule? And then shame is what we feel when we feel like we're fundamentally wrong, broken, or unacceptable. So what would you have to believe in order to believe that? So you can either do that live in the moment, that's very hard because you probably get swept away by the emotion itself. So you can think after, when the emotion subsides, review, relive, go back into your body, see what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt, relive the entire experience, looking for, feeling for the beliefs that might have made you feel that negative emotion. That is exactly what is calling out for you to be healed, period.
That is so powerful. So in that viewpoint, all of our quote unquote emotions that we say are negative are actually opportunities or tools for us to understand what underlying under the surface wants to be healed, so we can step into that next level of whatever it is in our lives. And that is what naturally attracts money or anything else to us, right?
Exactly.
So that is so powerful and so important. And I seriously need to like rewind and take notes on all those questions that you just said. That was so good. Thank you for sharing that. And what would you say is your, for anyone who wants to start getting into manifestation, like your biggest manifestation tip that someone can just start applying to their lives today if they want to start learning how to do this?
So what I have felt, and I've thought about that too, And it changes for me, obviously, as I find deeper levels of manifestation. I think now, at least what has been most active in my world presently, is your general vibe. And you probably heard this a lot with people. You've got to be in a positive vibe, right, in order to do this. And you might have asked, well, how? How do we do this? I think two things are really important for it: play and service. So play will help you get into that positive vibe, right? And I mean play, whatever feels like play for you. If it's jumping up and down on your bed, do it. You know, if it's rolling around with your dog on the floor, do it. If it's fucking with your friends on Instagram, do it. You know, the whole point is you get that delicious, fun, I want to play, life is good vibe, and then see how long you can hold that. And for me, one of the things that I love doing is having that kit in my back pocket of songs, videos, things to read, things to do that just give me some of that joyful goodness so that when I feel like I'm a little slow or heavy or whatever, instead of having to think about it or how do I dig myself out here, which might be hard for you in the moment, you just go back to that toolkit and you pull something out and just get yourself back onto that high vibe. And service is something that I had not thought of until now as a manifestation tool, but it gets you out of scarcity. And that is so important because you cannot and will not manifest as you want from a place of scarcity. I won't go so far as to say you cannot manifest from scarcity, but it is so much harder if it's possible. And when you have your focus on serving, so if you want to manifest clients, for example, instead of just manifesting the money or the clients themselves, how about you try to manifest the service that you will provide for those clients or how good it will feel when you have a specific kind of client coming in and you can help them in a specific way and see what they look like or what their lives look like or what they're telling you on the other end of the phone when they're done. And just get that, oh my God, how good does that feel? And the money and everything will come naturally, right? Because you manifested a client. Obviously, they're going to pay you. But that doesn't need to be your focus. When you can focus on, what can I do for people? How can I add to people? How can I make this world better one person at a time? You're already, you're starting to think more and more and more like your higher being, more and more and more like the universe itself. And so that's, you know, when you pick a good partner to co-create with you, even if you're making a sandwich, you want someone who has the same kind of flavor as you, right? Who has the same kind of taste, has the same kind of goals for that sandwich, right? Otherwise, you're going to get a mess. So the more you feel like your goals and your vibes are similar to the universe's care for all, love for all, what can I do for you? Not what can I amass for myself? The more you will be a beautiful co-creator with the universe itself.
That is so beautiful. And I think right now, more than any time, that is such valuable advice. Because right now, I think with the whole coronavirus and the scare and the pandemic and the economy and everything going on, a lot of people are falling into scarcity. And, you know, who can blame them? Like, there's a lot of scarcity going on right now in the news and the media and in the world. And I think for me, just like you said, the best way for me to get out of scarcity, because we're all human. Like, I don't know about you, but I fall back into my own scarcity programming all the time and I have to bring myself out of it, right? That's what this work is. You're constantly doing it. And the easiest way for me to get out of scarcity is to give. And I remember when I was in my corporate job living paycheck to paycheck, like so broke, I was sharing a bedroom and like had no money. And whenever I was feeling really bad about money or anything, I would go to Starbucks, didn't even drink coffee, but I would buy a coffee just so I could tip 100%. Right? Because I couldn't even afford to give money, but I was like, I can afford, you know, this $3. And that made me feel so good. So it's like, even those small things, even if you don't have money to give, like you can give time, words of affirmation, like acts of service, anything. That is what true abundance is for me. And I love that you brought that up as a manifestation tip, because not a lot of people talk about that as a manifestation strategy. And it is, it's so powerful. So thank you. And are there any last words of wisdom or advice that you would really want people to know?
Yeah, I think that we can build on things. I love where you went with that, because there might be someone listening right now who says, it's all well and good for you, Dan and Krista. You know, you have a lot, or Kristen, sorry. You have a lot of things here at your disposal. You have money, you have all these things, you have resources, you have talents, you have skills. What can I give? Maybe they don't even have $3. I don't know. And the thing here is you don't need to, and they might also be thinking, well, I need to manifest, you know, $10,000. Slow it down a little bit and realize that it's okay. You can build, right? It's like if you go to the gym, you don't just go and try to deadlift 5,000 pounds out of nowhere. You break both your legs. It doesn't happen. But you can go and deadlift 10 pounds and then get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Same thing here. Maybe you're like, well, I want to get in a service. I don't have anything. Good. Give them your energy. What if you thought that just helping people feel better or making them laugh or sharing smiles. And, you know, maybe that's what you can give. And that's so valuable now. So that's very worth it, right? That's a beautiful gift. And maybe you start with that and you use that to get you in the right vibe. And maybe you start just like, I just want to see if I can manifest $5 or a dollar, a quarter, a penny, manifest a penny just to see yourself do it. Just to give yourself, oh my God, I manifested a penny. What, can I manifest a dollar now? Right? And then maybe you have like a little bit more and you think, okay, well, you know, giving people smiles and goodness is feeling wonderful. How can I do this in an even bigger way? It's totally free. Maybe you want to do stuff on social media or offer people free calls or whatever, just to help share that gift even more. So now you're giving even more and it's still free for you. And with that, you're like, okay, let me manifest $5. And the $5 comes in however it comes in, right? Because you might find it on the ground. Someone might give it to you, or you might even, I don't know, you might get a client, who knows, however it comes. Then you see that and you raise the bar again. And this iterative strengthening, raising your belief, raising your vibe, raising how much you're giving without taking anything from you and without requiring anything from you, you will begin to build that momentum of manifesting even more and more and more and more. And eventually, I don't know when, right? But eventually, I'm pretty sure you'll manifest that $10,000.
Right. All in divine timing. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was my journey as well. Like, I don't think most people don't start by just manifesting $10,000. You know, you start by building the belief. And if you can't even fathom having $10,000, it's not going to show up for you. But I think anyone can fathom manifesting a penny. So I love that. And you just have brought so much freaking value to this. So thank you so much. That was incredible. And I'm sure everyone listening is going to want to go find you and stalk you and learn from you. So how can they connect with you? And if they want to work with you, how can they do that?
Sure. So you can find me on danmendelow.com. That's my website. I got so much stuff on there. Just roam around. Enjoy. You can hit me up on Facebook. You'll find me as Dan E, as in Edward C. It used to be Empowerment Coach because I had two accounts and I needed one way to figure it out. So I was Dan E C Mendelow. So you can connect with me on there. Dan Mendelow on Instagram. I'm super basic, guys. I really am a basic bitch with my names. It's easy to find me. And I'm also really approachable. So if you have a question, if you want whatever, like I'm offering free SOS calls as well. Like I won't try to pitch you on it either. This is my dedication to my service. So reach out with any question. If you want an SOS call, we can schedule you. If you have any questions, whatever, I will be very happy to speak with you, to help you if I can. And then if it makes sense, if you're curious about us working together, then we can have that be part of the conversation. But I would like for that, unless you are already thinking about it, I would like for that to be just a natural, organic thing. Let me help you first. Let me show you that this stuff is real and is aligned with you so you're not gambling. Right? So you know that this is a great investment for you. And then we can talk about it.
That's so beautiful. And we'll have all of those links in the show notes. So it's nice and easy for everyone to find you. And thank you again so much for being here. That was just incredible. And I was so honored to be able to have this conversation.
Oh, thank you. It was a beautiful experience. I just love having these conversations with you. And I hope that your audience got so, 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 so much out of this.
I'm sure they did. And if you're listening and you did get any value out of this, if it resonated, make sure you share and you tag myself and or Dan so that we can see and we can share. We want to hear from you. And just thank you again.